And we're going to get into this. Just been so exciting for me in the last 5.5 years to understand this message. I feel like I'm still a baby in it, but I find no fault in it. I find no fault in this message of grace. It's absolutely the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful, give him a hand. He's a wonderful friend and he's a wonderful father to us. Today I'm talking about A++, and it's A++ because at the back end or at the front end of Peter's life, when he met Jesus, he was abundantly blessed. And he was blessed all the way through, but then he was particularly abundantly blessed again just before Jesus left and went back to heaven. And then, of course, he became, you know, from a commercial fisherman, he became one of the leaders of the church in the new Christian era that had started in the new covenant of grace. Just want to bring it up on the screen and then we'll go through. Won't be a long time, I can assure you, promise, cross my heart, spit my bubble gum. Yeah, today, men living in abundance. Now, you can see that waterfall there, and two, he just helped me. To help me just put these up here, it's really interesting to look at some history. You know, people say about history that we never learn from history. If you think of our civilizations, they have wars and they say, we'll never have a war again. 10 years later, next chapter, war. World War One, World War Two, and then we have now wars and chapters. And they say one thing about history: mankind never learns from history. But today, because we have the Bible in a free land like this, we actually can look at history 3,000 years ago, the writings in the Psalms about Jesus. We can look at 2,000 years ago and we can see what the teachings of Jesus and the grace teaching and how he graced them, grace upon grace. And then we can look in our own lives, contemporary history, and we can see this grace revolution now taking root in this country. It really is. For me, I know you've got a job. I like my job, and my job really brings me close to hearing people saying, you know, they'll email or whatever and they'll say, this message has changed my life. Can you come and have a church here for us, Pastor Pierce? Do you have a conference? Whatever. I'm just so looking forward to what Mark's doing for us in the church in terms of getting the IT there so that we can have a network right around the world of people listening to the grace message coming from Australia. Can you say amen? It's fantastic. Now, important detail that we can learn from history, and I'm just going to read you some of the stuff that's in our Bible, and so you can see all this stuff that we can learn, we actually can learn from history. It doesn't have to be repeatable mistakes, and this is something I just wanted to put in. First of all, we read in Genesis 1, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. And the waters brought forth abundantly. So I'm talking about A++ abundance. Notice that? And it looks like ship rats. I've had a few of them on my property. Shore rats. Shore rats is the Hebrew. Shorats. It means swarm or abound or team. Just like the fish in the sea and the birds of the air. They were to go forth and multiply and be abundant in the earth. How many think that the earth, even now, even though it's been pillaged and almost raped by mankind, there still seems to be teams of fishes and birds? How many believe that? When I was at Wesley this week, I got the doctor's attention. I said, look out the window. And when I pulled the curtain, when he said, you can go home now, Purse. When I pulled the curtain, there was a beautiful dove sitting on the windowsill looking at me. And I said, thank you, Lord. I'm going to be okay. I just said that to him, and the doctor said, wow, I've never seen that one before. And I said, yeah, well, there it was. And it flew off, and it joined a big flock of, You know, pigeons and doves are the same, just doves are a bit smaller, but the same family, actually. And so when I spoke to my tomatoes that weren't doing well recently, I had a good talk to them while Diane was away, and I said, now you girls, sorry girls, I said, you girls, you know, you're to be fruitful and multiply. That's what God said to the plants, and he said to the animals, he said, be fruitful, multiply. So they have these reproductive organs and beautiful flowers and all that. Look at the imitations of them on our tables this morning. Flowers do such beautiful things in reproducing. They produce these beautiful colors, etc. So do birds. And they swarm, and they have lots of seeds, and they pollinate the wind, etc. And I said to these girls, now you've got to be fruitful and multiply, and I don't want to have any more nonsense, you know. They were averaging 2 tomatoes on every plant, okay? 2 tomatoes on every plant, Roma tomatoes, you know. And so now they're averaging 20 tomatoes on every plant after four weeks speaking to them. And I do actually believe, as I look into your face, I just want to say, I believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ wants us to live an abundant life. He that hath the Son has life and has an ever-increasing abundance, it says. Let's all say this word, abundance. Abundance. Yeah, okay, here we go. So that was way back at the start. And then when you come back into more contemporary history, just 2,000 years ago, Dr. Luke, a Greek doctor, he records the first lecture or the talk in the synagogue at Nazareth of Jesus. And he writes it down and he says, Jesus opened the scroll and he tells the sermon, if you like. And he ends up the sermon by saying, Jesus read from Isaiah 61, verse 19 in the scroll. Of course, there were no verses, but we have verses to find out where the place is. And it was, he said, to proclaim, do you remember this? The accepted and acceptable, remember, year of the Lord? Do you remember that? Yeah? He said, you know, the blind eyes would open. And in doing that, that word acceptable, when you look it up, is the word dektos. It means to proclaim the dektos time. Now, dektos literally means the time or the day of the Lord when salvation and the free favors of God shall profusely abound. Profusely abound. I said to Diane the other day, she just got back from Scotland, and I said to her, you know, I looked into her face and I said, you know how we were in Singapore and we were abounding? I said, it's starting to happen to our lives now. We're abounding in the goodness of God. Can you say amen to that? It's fantastic. Now, I'd like to just go to another part of history, and there's a certain guy there. So when I retired at 57, I took up sort of like, I used to cut wine barrels. And I bring them up, and I used to make them into herb and veggie gardens for the Gold Coast multimillionaires and those way up in the high rises and here in Brisbane. And that was my job. You know, it was a hobby, but it became a job because I'm a gardener. And that's what I did for 3 years. I want to put something over those because this is what it says in John 1, 16, 17. Now, Jesus walked with his disciples, and Peter would have been there, John was there, Andrew was there, James was there. They were all cobbers, friends, mates, hung out together. They were all commercial fishermen. There was others too, but I just mentioned those four. Out of his fullness, now John wrote at 92, but John was a commercial fisherman. He was a commercial fisherman, don't forget that. Okay? And he would have been, you know, reasonably financial. And he ran a business, right, with Peter, his mate, and with James and Andrew. Right. Out of his fullness, pleroma, complete, replete, to cram a net full. That's why I use that word. Out of his fullness means to cram your net with fish. And that's why I use that Greek word. Fill up a hollow. Out of his abundance, we have all received, all had a share, and we were all supplied with one grace after another. It means grace, anti-grace. It means grace upon grace upon grace as the waves came in. And Peter began to experience that. He saw amazing things. He saw water turned into wine. He saw the multitudes fed. You know, he saw people raised from the dead. He just saw grace upon grace upon grace. And of course, the Bible doesn't tell you all the things. He saw his mother-in-law healed too. I hope he was happy about that. And even favor upon favor. Look what it says, people, because I'm trying to get there in your mindset along with mine, that God wants us and desires us as his kids to live an abundant life. Look, one grace after another and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. For while the law was given through Moses, grace, undeserved favor and spiritual blessing and truth came through Jesus Christ. And so, you know, they lived that life. And John wrote it 92 when he was back at Ephesus after his exile at Patmos. He wrote and he said it was grace upon grace. And Peter experienced that. He saw Jesus being transfigured in his heavenly body. He saw all sorts of things, grace and revelation. And he walked on water with Jesus. Amazing times that fisherman had. Amazing times. Here's a new creation. When we first started our church, we made these and gave them out to people. They're really nice. And this is what it says 3,000 years ago. Grace provides an abundant completion at the cross. In Psalm 22, 23, it says that Jesus finished the work, that he has done it, that it is finished. 3,000 years ago, it said Jesus would do a complete grace work. And then when it comes 2,000 years, he does it. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. Everyone say, finished. I bet you wish it was already. Hebrews 10:14, for by a single offering he is forever completely cleansed and perfected those who are consecrated and made holy. Tetelestai, accomplished, brought to an end. Final perfect tense. The perfect tense in Greek describes a present state resulting from an action in the past. He finished a complete work so we could live a complete abundant life. It's a brilliant message. This is what the church, us in the church, are getting excited about. It really is a brilliant message. And look at Psalm 23. And so 3,000 years ago, this was written, this song. Kurt, not bad, you know, for one of these beautiful songs. The Psalms were the Psalter playing, you know, on a musical instrument similar to what Kurt did. And they would play these. And they would also have a flute, etc. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, pastor. Guess what? I shall what? That means I will live in abundance. I shall not want. I shall live in abundance. Because Yahweh, I put this, because Yahweh is my father and pastor, I shall not be in want, lack in any area of my life, including my health. That's where I'm standing. He brings me into rest, and rest finds grace. And grace is his favor, prolific, prolific favor. I love this church in many ways because of its people and our branches and that. But I love it because it has favor time. Favor time gives people a chance. And I see my sister get up very regular sometimes. And she gets up and she rings me on the phone and says this, that, you know, and oh, God has done this and that and the other. And it's just wonderful, you know. And I see people like Munchai stand up today and say how he's got a job. And I know he's been praying for that job. Praise God, you know, that's a really important thing. That's a really important thing. Now look at Hebrews 13. So Hebrews 13, it says, may the God of peace, who is the author and giver of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood that seal ratified the everlasting agreement, covenant, testament. And it says this beautiful thing here. It says this, we've got to repeat there. Let me just go through this. He will equip you with every good for doing his will, and may he work in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory. So he equips us, he blesses us, he gives us good families, he gives us good wives, he gives us good mothers, he gives us good brothers and sisters. Our family is really important when you're in grace. Family is really, really important. Okay. And look at this. Jesus is now our great high priest and he's our grace giver. See, these are all things about grace. And if you've never understood grace, man, it's amazing the insight you will get into what your life can be. And this is history telling us, and we can learn from history today and not make the same mistakes that the church or people have done in the past. And so what does he give us? He gives us grace. What does it say? For we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities and liability to the assaults of temptation. So he came to earth, he understands that. But one, capital O, who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sin. Let us, everyone say let us. Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly, can you say amen to that? Draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need. Yeah? Well-timed help coming just when we need it. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Now look at this one. Learning from history. Look, this is what our church believes and experiences. And my wife and I, we're experiencing this. Our children are growing up. We're experiencing this. We have grandchildren. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God, now is not in the language, okay, is, that's why I've got it in brackets. It's just God's able, God dunatus, it means God's powerfulness, his capability, makes all grace, every favor and earthly blessing, come to you in abundance. Oh, people, can you hear it down there? Give me a wave if you can hear me. Look, yep, comes to you in what? Abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances, whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Brilliant. Brilliant. That's what the grace of God in our life does. God's favor to us as his kids. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you are becoming progressively acquainted with and recognizing more strongly and clearly. And this is us in Brisbane. Look, for you, Percy, you are becoming progressively acquainted with and recognizing more strongly and clearly the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. His kindness, his gracious generosity, his undeserved favor and spiritual blessing. Look, his kindness, his gracious generosity, his undeserved favor and spiritual blessing. That though he was so very rich, was he rich in eternity? He still is, right? He's there and he's rich in eternity. But out of his riches, what? He stepped out of them. Gave them up for a time, right? For your sakes, my sake, he became so very poor, naked on the cross. What? In order that by his poverty, you might become enriched. And in brackets, the professors in Greek say, abundantly supplied. Oh, come on, people. Give him a hand, please. Give him a hand. It's amazing. Men living in abundance. Now, I'm just going to close with a rugged guy, Peter. His name means like little rock or a rock that you could hurl, a stone maybe you might see on TV. You know, that's him there, just up here, Peter. And when Jesus called Peter, I'm going to just do it so I don't wander from the story too much. I'm going to do it on screen for you. Here we go. Peter, a commercial fisherman, receives abundant grace from Jesus at his call. And so he caught this amazing catch. This picture doesn't fully show it. It was such that the nets were going to break. And he did it in the day when fish can see those flax nets. See, they're made of flax. You only fish at night. But Jesus said in the morning when he was cleaning his nets, hey, Peter, why don't you go out and fish? He said, I tried all night, Lord, we've never got anything. Now, Jesus was introducing Peter to the abundant life. Come on. It's the kindness of God that brings us to repentance. What is repentance? Changing your mindset. Out of orthodoxy into grace. Out of tradition into grace. God will show you abundance, get you the job, whatever, to bring your mindset in line with the truth that he wants to abundantly bless you as his son and daughter. It's beautiful. Look, So he's being introduced to the grace life. So he gets it at his call and he gets it at his reconfirmation. I'll just go through this. When he first gets it in Luke 5, when he gets this abundance, he's in his fishing clothes. And just look, imagine this. When John says, it's Jesus, you know, Peter is not following Jesus at this time. He's fishing. He's not full-time following Jesus as a disciple. And when he sees Jesus and he sees the catch in the net, guess what? His mindset changes. And what does he say? Depart from me. I'm a sinful man. You know what he was saying, guys? Down the back, men, you'll relate to this. Listen, what he was saying is, I'm not good enough for this. Jesus, you can't hang out with me. I'm just a rotten sinner, man. My mouth is cursed, cussing, and Jesus, no, Jesus, don't waste it on me. Depart from me. He's saying, Jesus, no, Jesus, don't come near me. I'm not good enough. How many men in Australia feel that? They're not good enough to live this abundant life. Well, I tell you what, everybody is good enough to live this abundant life. It's amazing. So he says, depart from me. And then later on, he gets his next catch of fish. And you know what? He gets onto the shore and he sees Jesus, and Jesus is making breakfast. And Jesus says, haul in your nets. And he said, we tried all night. We can't get anything at the Sea of Tiberias or the Sea of Galilee. And then all of a sudden, they get 153 very, very large fish, like big flathead, you know, really big fish, guys. And you know what he's thinking? But Jesus, just a few days ago, I lied about you. I cursed, I never even met you. I've given up. I've gone back to my profession of fishing. Now, in the first call, such as his mindset changed, Jesus says, follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. So he does for 2.3 years. He follows Jesus. But now he goes back to fishing again. So Jesus gives him another abundance of kindness and restores him. And he goes on to become the first major church leader along with Paul in Rome. Amazing change. You know what will change you? When you see the reality of God abundantly showing his kindness to you. And that's why we have favor time in this church. Not just to give a testimony of when I got born again or anything like that, where you can't get people up anyway and there's deathly silence. We want to be in a church where people are running to the mic and say, guess what happened to me this week? Because it's kindness that changes our mindset to him. When we see not how much we have to love him, but how much he loves us. Glory. Give him a hand, please. Really good. Peter said, I've gone back to fishing, my occupation. I'm stressed out. And you know what Jesus said to him? I think I'll just show you this. First of all, I'll make you fisher of men. That was the first one. That was the first response. Second response, another abundant catch was this. Feed my lambs, Pete. Shepherd my sheep, feed my sheep. Now, I'm very touched by this message because I'll tell you why. When John wrote his gospel, he finished at chapter 20. And then he basically made an addendum, chapter 21. And if you look at all the commentaries, they'll say, what is this thing about this guy, John writing about this guy, Peter, getting all this fish? Well, John was a fisherman along with Peter. Peter's brother was Andrew. And, okay, the car horn's beeping there. That's all right. That's okay. Probably $1 million abundant phone call. We don't mind. All right, look what he was going to do. Feed my lambs, shepherd my sheep, feed my sheep. He was going to go in that mindset of grace and he was going to learn abundance. And I was really touched that John put that last chapter in, especially to show us how his mate Pete is a man. I'm talking to men this morning. It's Man's Day. I'm talking about you men and myself, us guys living an abundant life. Amen. Experiencing his abundance. And I thought, good on you, mate. Good on you, John. when you just left in the divine word of God there, chapter 21, it's all about his mate Pete getting another abundant catch after he had fallen away and felt like he couldn't live this life because Jesus had now died. And he thought, well, Jesus is gone. Now what am I going to do? He is my supplier. But Jesus came back and said, listen, listen to this. He said, Peter, I'm going to show you, even when I go back to heaven, I am your provider abundantly all the days of your life. I am your abundant provider. Amen. I love this. I love the gospel. I love Jesus. And men, I just want to encourage you as I close here now and we go to eating today. Pete, this is sort of in Jesus' words. Pete, my grace will always be abundant for you. There you go, Peter Arthur. My grace will always be abundant for you. Remember the amazing catches of fish. Broke the nets. They were huge. Supplied for his family money. He caught fish for money, not recreational rod fishing. He caught fish for his business. Some of you men are going to go into business. Some of you are in business. Just speak forth. Be fruitful and multiply over that business you're in. Just like I spoke over the tomatoes. I'm a gardener, okay? That's all right. Adam was, so I'm allowed in too, okay? And Eve was too, you know. So my wife, I'm not sure whether she thinks she's a gardener or not. She's getting the apple strudel. So guys, lift your hands with me, guys. Girls, you can if you wish, ladies. And just say, Lord, we're speaking fruitfulness into our lives. Be fruitful and multiply. Increase. And of the increase of his reign, there will be no end. I shall go forth into more abundance. And because the Lord is my shepherd and pastor, I shall never lack. He became poor that I would abound and be rich and be able to bless. Rich in relationships. Reach out for your relationships now, guys. Reach out. We don't believe in all the divorce stuff, you know, has to happen to our marriage, third or fourth partners or whatever. We believe, it says this, husbands, rejoice in the wife of your youth. We believe that. Amen. Thank you. You can put your hands down. I just want a closing prayer. Father, thank you that we can learn from history. I know, man, and our foolishness in this world, we don't seem to learn. We're always trying to patch up after we make the same mistake 100 times. But Lord, thank you that the gospel is the everlasting truth. And if we know this truth, it will set us free, absolutely free. And it will cause us to live in your grace, dektos time, favor time, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I have grace every day. Every day, every day, I shall not want, and I shall rest beside still waters, and you shall be my provider. Father, I just want to thank you for being so lovely and kind to us blokes. Thank you for the men in our church, but the men in our lives, the uncles, the granddads, the brothers. We lift up our hands for them that they shall experience, men shall experience this abundance that Peter experienced. And though they might go through some hard times where they feel like, well, Jesus has let them down, they'll come to know he hasn't. He's done something even greater for them at the cross while they were so distressed. He's made a perfect sacrifice and ushered in a new covenant of wonderful grace. Jesus, thank you so much. Our hearts are endeared to you. Thank you for John and Peter and James and Andrew, those commercial fishermen, and the wonderful life of grace that they led. Oh, Father, thank you so much. You took those men and you changed their mindset. And they were able to see great provision. Thank you for your provision. Men, again, I'm just going to bless you with provision. Hold your hand up. In the name of Jesus, I bless you today as a priest of the Most High God. Because I am a priest. I'm an Elyon priest. I'm a son of the Most High God. I bless you, and I'm a priest. I bless you, and so are you. Nothing to do with my job as a pastor. But if you're a believer, you're a priest. I bless you with prosperity, relationships, health, wealth, work, friendships, provision. That you shall taste and see that Jesus is very, very, very good. Hen how, hen how, hen how. Beautiful. Thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for our children, our grandchildren. And we pray for Australia at this time and its government. Lord, we just pray for a strong country, a country that will be righteous. Well, Lord, how can the unrighteous be righteous? Easy. They can know Jesus who makes them totally righteous. So, Father, we thank you so much for our church and for today, for all the loved ones here. Pray that we'll enjoy the beautiful dinner we're going to have now or the beautiful lunch we're going to have. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us today. So, we're going to have...